All right, here we are. Apparently, it was December 15th, 1966, and WGIL FM went on the air. And Jim Lee is here. We're celebrating 50 years of 94.9, Jim. And you're a part of that because you've got, do you got over 20 here at the?
I do. I would have been five in 1966.
Five in 66. Do you remember? Is that what you were listening to, or what were you listening to on the radio in 66?
Well, I was like most, once I became of age, I was listening to Top 40 stuff, WLS out of Chicago, on my own time, but right. on my folks' time at the machine shed, and also when I went to the grocery store in Roseville in those days, it was always FM 95 on the air.
Right.
And I remember the freeze notice weather forecast from the time I can remember listening to that. You know, that's one of the things that always jumped out at me.
That was the name of the forecast, freeze. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. I even remember the little jingle that they used to have going into that as well.
What was it in the summertime?
It was still, it was still freeze notice.
Okay.
Because the guy's name was Freeze.
Oh, yes.
Harvey Freeze.
Harvey Freeze.
And Charlie Notice, who couldn't pronounce his T's very well, and it sounded like Charlie Notice.
That's awesome.
We always made fun of Charlie Notice.
I'm sure he appreciated it.
Uh-huh, sure. Well, he probably didn't know. So,
Jim Lee, tell us when you walked in the doors of your first experience on FM 95. When did you walk in the doors of the Galesburg Radio Center?
Well, it was, I guess it was February of 1995, and I really didn't have a whole lot to do with the FM 95 part. I was on WGIL pretty much exclusively until I started doing the farm news.
Yeah.
After a couple of years here. And at that point, Carl and Jen were running the Diamond Duo Morning Show, I believe they called it.
Married couple?
Yes.
Okay.
Wurzlers, yep, doing a great job. And they had come on after the Raymond and Raymond show. And I think actually maybe there was a little gap in there in between, I'm sure, and the other people you talk to, you'll get all those gaps filled
their
in.
Their timelines, they're tough to nail down, yeah.
In fact, Mark Goodell, who had left, had done mornings, and I think I actually took his place. I wasn't mornings here, but you know how it is, you get a position that opens up and they kind of move everybody around.
Sure.
And so anyway, Mark left just as I was coming in. And so, but then after Carl and Jen, then they had an opportunity and they left and they threw Jason Bruning into the mix. And, you know, Jason was excited but really nervous because he was young. I want to think he was only
17, 18, 19.
He just fresh out of high school. He'd been working here part-time for a while. But
I remember he was the young gun when I came in October of 95.
He was. And so, but he worked hard at it and did a really nice job. And
you and Brad Benowitz were on with him intermittently throughout the morning, right?
Yeah, and Brad especially, because he was doing news and sports at the time.
Yeah.
So you're hearing him do the sports.
You were live in the studio with Jason on occasion?
On occasion, yep.
Yeah.
And he would go and do football games with us as well.
Yeah.
When we cover the Silver Streaks. And then he got an opportunity down in Alabama and moved down there.
Did you get to go on that infamous Mexico trip?
No, that was Brad and Jason.
Okay.
Went on the charter direct down to Playa del Carmen, I think it was.
And right.
And reported back to us.
Right. Some of your greatest memories with FM 95, and I'm going to pick one, and I think this was FM 95, the train trip?
The train trip.
Being farm director?
It was through WGIL and FM 95, and it was a kind of in combination with... I think with RFD, they were doing some things as well to promote that. But we a bunch of us, I don't know, there were probably 30 of us anyway, went out west and took the train out to Colorado and eventually to Nevada and California, and then got off there, took a bus down along the coast to L.A., and then ended up flying back.
Yeah.
And that was, and it was a listener trip. It was about 2 weeks long. It was terrific.
Yeah.
I've really got a chance to travel a lot within the farm director's role early on because it was fairly lucrative in the late 90s and through much of early 2000s. There were a lot of agriculture companies buying advertisements because they were competing.
Absolutely.
And so there was a lot of revenue in farm broadcasting.
Well, so you were a busy man.
Yeah, that started to dry up a little bit when you had all these consolidations of the big companies, and so they weren't advertising quite as much as for me and other farm broadcasters. We had some of our travel cut a little bit just because there wasn't quite as much money out there. But in the time, my goodness, got to go with the corn growers to Washington, D.C. 2 years to cover what they were doing. The Illinois contingent got to know a lot of guys around the state doing that. Would go to Commodity Classic every year, which is the annual corn and soybean growers convention, and it rotated to different spots.
Talked to so many FFAers over the years.
Oh, yeah. A lot of FFA. Learned a lot from all of those kids, especially Galesburg, Rova, Knoxville. Williamsfield at the time was coming in.
And so early mornings in August out at the Knox County Fairgrounds with the livestock waking up as the fair started.
Yeah, and, you know, that's changed some over the years. We used to cover a lot of things at the county fair. That's, you know, cut back. There just isn't as much activity out there in the mornings and afternoons as there used to be. Now everything is pretty well centered toward the evening, with the exception of some of the livestock shows.
What are some of your memories of back in the those mid-90s times when you came into the radio station here, and just some of the characters around that stick out to you?
It was just you had a few more volatile type characters back then. And I've always said that in sports too. You used to have coaches that would just blow up on the sideline. I mean, they were the show as much as the players were.
Right.
Now it's a more sportsmanlike, more PC situation there. And I think even in radio, you've lost a lot of those big personalities who were high risk and high reward.
Right.
You know, I think of Ray Smith. I mean, this guy, and he was part of the reason I got here. He recommended me to John Raymond. As we used to run into he and John Ring when I was doing ball games for Monmouth. We'd go all around and we'd be doing the same game.
Yeah, but Ray Smith, what a personality.
Oh, just big voice, big personality. You know, and
knew when he was coming around the corner.
Oh yeah, when he was up, Ray was the most fun guy in the world. But when he would get mad, boy, look out, that big voice, and he had a temper. And but you know, that was kind of radio for a long time. There were a lot of big personalities, big talents, and that was radio.
Yeah. You needed some shooters like that to make it a little more interesting.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because on the air, I mean, you never really knew what you were going to get, but it was going to be interesting for sure. I mean, gosh, you know, Jim Wyman's come and gone, and gosh, I started with Roger Coleman, was the owner, you know, in Monmouth for years, and then of course he had been a big part of Galesburg Broadcasting for years, and so I got to know Roger early in radio, and you know, another guy with a great voice and just a real personality.
Well, I thought you'd bring a lot to the history, at least the last 21 years of FM 95. You've been a part of it in some form. So thanks for coming on today. And it's a big happy birthday. That's a big, it's a lot of candles we got to blow out today.
Yeah, yeah. And boy, kudos to you, because you've done a tremendous job here. Just before you, Chuck O'Brien, big shoes to fill.
Absolutely.
He's done a great job on the morning show. And then you step in and really just taught yourself the whole country music genre, jumped right in, learned about the artists, and then, of course, interact with all the listeners, and you've just done a great job.
Well, as Jason was 5 or 6 years younger than me coming in here, I looked up to him and I thought, wow, someone that young can do the morning show?
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy I kind of looked up to a little bit. I think I was a little jealous at first. We didn't talk for a while, and then we became good friends, and he spilled coffee on me a few times, and Jason was awesome.
That's all it takes to endear you, is to have a coffee spill. Huh?
Have a coffee spill, and we're good. Jim Lee, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.